You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, we're waiting on A-Rod. We're a little bit earlier than we normally would be. Hal Steinbrenner spoke today. If you just joined us, and pretty much said, doesn't blame Cashman, doesn't blame the coaches, doesn't blame Boone, and puts the blame on the players. He said they have to perform better, and it's pretty simple and harsh way to look at it, but, you know, in its true essence, it's correct. And also, somebody on Twitter just said something. You don't have to tell Stanton he has to play the outfield five times a week. He said, how about just twice? And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. If he plays in the outfield twice, then that means Gary could play the game that Higashioka is going to catch Cole and as a DH, and Judge could have a day off but still be in the lineup as a DH. Just 2 days.
Yeah.
But if the listen, I'm not splitting the atom here, Don. I'm sure the Yankees have thought of this, but they obviously think that he would blow out, and they don't want him to blow up.
I know, but desperate times, right? I mean, you don't have that luxury. All right, so you blow him out. But if you don't blow him out, Michael, then what are you saving him for? Great at-bats in September when you're already mathematically eliminated? I mean, at what maybe not right at this particular second, but at what point do you start to say, all right, listen, it's not happening. Unless we go – if you're going to play 650 baseball to make it, Michael, you're going to almost win every series you play the rest of the way.
Also, one other thing, Don, the caller from, I guess it was Yapank, said, you know, you got to take Chapman out after two batters. It's clear he didn't have it. Well, you can't. It's a three-batter minimum. Yep. The most you could do is take him out. Well, I guess if there was – he did have one out with first and second, so maybe saying –
Yeah, one out, first and second. So that would be the fourth batter that he faced.
But he could have done that, right.
But at that point, Michael, he was struggling, but – You hit the ground ball and you're out of it. One pitch away. He's one pitch away from getting out of it. Now, like I said, once he loaded the bases, I guess then, but that's a tough spot to bring a reliever in. Bases loaded, one out, home run ties the game. But that would have been the move. That would, because you had a lefty warming up, a lefty bat, that could probably be when you do it, but not first and second one out.
No.
Because again, you had you only had the lefty warming up, right?
You only had Lidke warming up,
and yep. It was a righty that was the batter,
the one that loaded the bases.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that wouldn't have been ideal either, would it? You know, so I don't know. But then you could look at it and say, yeah. So let him hit the. You even brought it up. Let him hit the ball 750 feet. At that point, it would only made it a one run game.
Right. Right. Adam Schefter reporting the NFL is fining the Washington Football Team $10 million. As a result of the league's investigation into the team's culture,
all right.
Money will be donated to charity.
I mean, that's nice that money's going to charity. What did you do? $10 million to Daniel Snyder is tipping money. What'd you do? No, you didn't take any draft picks away?
Yeah, $10 right? million is nothing to them.
I mean, that's a slap on the wrist to me. Now, I don't know what they found. But is money really are fines a deterrent?
I don't think it is. I don't. Let's bring in our guest. I'm anxious to talk to him because, as I mentioned before, I've met very few people in baseball that know more about the game and love the game more than this guy, and that is Alex Rodriguez. He'll be doing the game with Matt Vasgersian and Buster on Sunday, Yankees against the Mets at the stadium. Alex, it's Michael and Don. How are you doing today?
What's up, Michael? What's up, Don?
How are you?
Tough night for both of you guys, Mets and Yankees last night.
All right, so let's talk about the Yankees. A night like last night, is that just one more loss that, you know, players have losses, they react differently than fans do, or is that a loss that even affects players adversely?
Yeah, I mean, that one's going to leave a mark. And, you know, the one good part was you had an early game at 1 o'clock and it gave you an opportunity to come out and swing it and beat the heck out of somebody and get that game behind you. But obviously got postponed today and you have to wait to, Subway Series.
All right, so you're in that room, Alex, and you just hear Hal Steinbrenner basically say this is a player's problem. How do you think that went over in the room?
Well, I think it's good. I mean, the more that Hal can be outspoken, the better. I really think that he is the face of this organization. He's one of the best owners in the game, very articulate, very smart. He knows the game well, and he's passionate about it, just like his family and his father was. So I think the more that Hal can be out in front, the better. I think that's a signal that as a player, you want to answer that challenge. But look, I do think that this has a lot more to do than just the players. This is a collective effort, and I think it goes from top to bottom.
You know, you've been in the game so long, and Hal kind of absolved the coaching staff and Aaron Boone for blame. He said it's a player issue. I always wondered, though, how much credit does a coach or a manager rightfully get, and how much blame do they rightfully get, and how much really lays at the feet of the players, either performing or not performing?
I think this is a unique year, Michael. I mean, if you look at it, I don't see it just as a player. As far as talent, I think Brian Cashman has collected as much talent as any team in baseball. But it's not just about talent that wins championships. It's about building a puzzle. It's like an architect building a house. And you can't build a 9-car garage in a 3,000-square-foot house. It just doesn't make any sense. And in New York, especially, I would trade some talent for passion, makeup, grit, all the things that those late 90s teams had. And you got to build a team that's complementary to each other and works well together.
You've said this on the air several times, Alex. This team is extremely right-handed. Now, at Yankee Stadium, the right-handers the Yankees have can easily reach the right field porch. Easily. You reached it. Voit could reach it. I mean, it's reachable. But I think that the bigger problem that it poses is it creates lanes for teams with good right-handed relievers to bring in a pitcher and not have any fear whatsoever to bring in that the Yankees are going to bring in a lefty to pinch hit. Do you think this is a fundamental flaw on this team that it's too right-handed?
Yes. I don't remember the last time that a Yankee lineup, you may have to go decades and decades back, to have 8 right-handed hitters against a right-handed pitcher at home or on the road. If you think about it, the 2009, our Yankee team, they share a record with the 2019 Dodgers, where left-handed hitters hit 164 home runs. So in 2009, our lefties hit 164 home runs. This year's team is on pace to hit 26. That's just not enough power from the left-handed side. There is nothing Aaron Boone can do to fix that. So for me, this becomes an architectural problem, not a managerial issue.
And he brought up that Hicks has killed them. Would you go as far as to say the Hicks injury killed them?
I mean, Hicks is a good player, but obviously not Bernie Williams. I think he's a nice complementary player that can hit at the top of the lineup or in the bottom of the lineup. He is a switch hitter. That helps. He is a switch hitter. That helps. And he's obviously a good center fielder. And it puts Aaron Judge in the right position. What I think is laughable is I see a guy like Gary Sanchez who gets pounded by the New York media, but he's truly one of the best bargains in baseball. When you think about him making around $6 million, what I would do is I would sign Gary Sanchez for 3 years, pay him $10 million a year, and when he's right, like he has been the last month, where he's won Player of the Week and he's in, and the front line to be Player of the Month, hitting over 300 with 9 home runs and whatnot. He's a guy that's a $30 million offensive player, and you're paying him $6.5 million. So I just think you have to be able to understand what you have in your farm system and how to evaluate your roster. You take a guy like DJ LeMahieu, who's one of my favorite players in the entire game, certainly one of my favorite Yankees. You know, he wasn't a great fit for the 2009 Yankees because we had, Jeter and Cano and Teixeira, and I was playing third. But is he a great player? Yes. Does he fit that team? Not great.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I just think that in an era of analytics, Alex, I wonder how much factors into this guy's an animal that would like kill a small farm animal just to win a game, because that doesn't show up in a number. So I'm wondering how much of that is even taken into account. I mean, when you look at your career stats, do they know that when you went 0-for-4, you didn't sleep at night, that you watched West Coast games and you looked at your swing? It's not quantifiable, so I wonder if that's just going away in baseball.
Well, I know the game of baseball is very hard. You play around 200 games in 232 days, if you include spring training, and go all the way to the World Series. And passion is something that's really important. I mean, people that love – I mean, Paul O'Neill, Michael and Don, is a perfect example. Paul O'Neill is one of my favorite players. But you can make an argument when Big Michaels brought him here to complement a very right-handed lineup back then. You can make an argument that Juan Gonzalez and Ruben Sierras and Jose Canseco's talent for talent had more talent. But Paul O'Neill was a better match, and he was better for the New York Yankees. 10 out of 10 times, Paul O'Neill was the guy. The same thing with Tino Martinez. So it's not just about getting the most talented, but who complements this Yankee team. Paul O'Neill was the guy then. You have to answer, who is that guy now?
Let's focus on Boone. Sometimes we don't criticize the managers, Alex, because we feel like they're limited in what they can do. The Bruce Bochys and the Mike Sochas don't exist anymore in this sport. But you see what Alex Cora is doing in Boston, the difference he made rejoining that team. We complimented Tom Thibodeau in New York with the Knicks on how he was able to get Julius Randle to become an elite player. Could Aaron Boone do a better job of getting these players to perform?
I mean, look, I think Aaron will be the first one to tell you, yes, I can do better. I think everybody across the board, from manager to ownership to players to clubhouse people, everyone will tell you they can do a little bit more and do better. But I don't think there's an Aaron Boone challenge. But I do believe, though, that players are human and they have a heartbeat and they get motivated and inspired. And a little fear is good. Look, I came up playing in the Lou Piniella, and if he looked at me, you know, with that 5 o'clock shadow, he was intimidating, right? He came from Billy Martin. He's a disciple from Billy. And you were going to get either embarrassed, but you had to be accountable. And there's no way around it. You still have the Belichicks of the world. You know, the Pat Rileys. You have this, Nick Saban. People react to people they respect. And I do think they respect Aaron Boone. I think it's just a matter of malperformance.
Were you afraid when George Steinbrenner walked in the room? Because Paul O'Neill told the story on the air the other day that if it was a bad situation and they were in a slump and George just walked around the locker room, everybody like sat up in attention and they had some fear. Was that something that affected you and everybody else?
100%. I mean, I think that will be a unanimous yes. And I think, look, I think Hal has the same effect. I think Hal is very smart. I think he's charismatic. I think he holds everybody respect. He holds everyone accountable. The more Hal's around, the more he's heard, the better, because I think he is the voice of the Yankees, and he's a great voice of the Yankees. But, you know, Joe Torre had that same effect, you know. And I think when, you know, you have a guy like David Cohn, and you have guys like Carlos Baerga, you have – I'm sorry, not Carlos Baerga, Carlos Beltran, people that were surrounding the Yankees. I mean, those are the voices I feel that you need around to help a guy like Chapman in the middle of a – slippery ninth inning that he did not have a feel. He did not have a grip for the ball. He couldn't find it. I mean, where's the – I leaned on experience. I leaned on Lou Piniella, who learned from Billy Martin. I learned from Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey. I can't look at just someone who has no experience and think that that person's going to bail me out of a hole.
All right, I got to ask you about this because Don and I and Peter was with us yesterday. He's off today. We were talking about this the entire show. So Aaron Judge and Gio Urshela were not in the lineup yesterday because, according to Aaron Boone, they needed a day. Now, they were in the lineup today before the game was rained out, so they weren't injured. They just needed a day. I understand what the Yankees are doing. They're trying to get as many games out of Judge as they possibly can without having him be out for an extended period of time. But, Alex, I'm asking you as a player. Let's say you needed a day off, but Pedro Martinez was pitching or Curt Schilling was pitching. Is that a game that if Torrey wanted to give you a day off that you'd go in and say, I have to play?
Yes, absolutely. And look, in fairness to Aaron Judge and Urshela, I'm not in the dugout. I'm not in the training room. I'm not sure if they needed a day because they were tired or they needed a day because they were injured. And there's two different things there. But I will certainly tell you about my experience. If Joe Torrey or Girardi came to me on a day that Schilling or Pedro was pitching, I would say, look, you can give me the day off, but give it to me after these guys leave town or give it to me when Schilling or Pedro are not pitching, because I never wanted to dodge or have the perception that I was dodging one of the game's best. And again, this is not against Judge or Urshela. I do not know their situation, so I'm not entitled really to talk about that.
But the fact that he played well the night before, was in the lineup today, we can assume that he was healthy. Plus, they had a 10-3 lead in the sixth inning or fifth inning the day before. I mean, if you're so worried about ups and at-bats and all that for Judge, well, take him out of the game if you're up 7 runs in the fifth inning. Alex, I mean, listen, you got to play 650 baseball the rest of the way. I can't have the best players, never mind not wanting to face Ohtani or whatever. I need you to line up as often as possible. I can't give you a day off when my manager goes on and talks about how huge this week is and how important these games are. Is it wrong for us to think it just comes across as a little fishy?
Look, I think Aaron Judge is one of the best players in the game. I think he's playing at a really high level. He's playing center field well. He's honestly one of the best right fielders in the game. His angles, his throwing, everything he's doing about the game, it is at such a high level. Look, the Yankees, if you want to rest somebody, it's because you want to be strong in September and October. The way the Yankees are going right now, they're a week away or 10 days away from blowing this whole season. So my approach would be all in every day and every game counts, and it's huge.
All right, before we let you go, so you've got the Sunday game. It looks like if the Mets are rained out today, DeGrom's going to pitch against the Yankees tomorrow. But if they're not rained out, he'll pitch against the Braves. You've seen the Pedros, you've seen the Schillings, you've seen the Randy Johnson. Have you seen anyone perform at this level for this long a time as DeGrom is?
No, I haven't. And he is something special to watch. I mean, he's a former shortstop at Stetson as a college. He's a guy that was throwing, 94 when I faced him, and now he's throwing, 101. But it's the simplicity in the way he does it. I mean, the guy, there's nothing he can't do. He's hitting, he's driving in runs. He's fielding his position, and, he gives up, one or two runs, and his ERA goes up. He is as good as a pitcher as I've ever seen. And I thought Gooden in when was that, 84, 85, was as good as it gets. I mean, DeGrom has just gone to a whole nother level. And he's a gentleman and very humble and just a great asset for New York City.
And you and Matt are going to be in the booth at the stadium on Sunday. How happy are you about getting back on the road and doing the games in person?
Well, I can't wait. It's been way too long. And, being at the stadium is my favorite place in the world. I miss Yankee Stadium. I miss the fans. And my daughters will be in the building with me. And we're really excited to get back to go home, Bronx, Yankee Stadium.
Good stuff, Alex. I guess I'll see you Saturday. I know you do your prep work, so you'll be there Saturday. Thanks for coming on with us.
You got it. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
All right, that's Alex Rodriguez. So let's think about what he said, and you could call us at 1-800-919-3776. Thought it was interesting that, give me the day off after these guys are gone. Don't give me this day off because just the optics. And he's not questioning Judge or Urshela because, in a way, we were kind of unfair yesterday, too. We have no idea what went on behind the scenes. None. All we could do is have the information that we're given and run with that. But we don't know if Judge stormed in and said, I want to be in there. We don't know if Boone said, there's no way you're in there. We don't know if somebody asked for debt. We don't know. But again, just the optics of it, everybody around the baseball world, their eyebrows went up. Yep. And it's kind of unfair in a sense because Aaron Judge has played more games than anybody but DJ. DJ went ahead of him yesterday by playing that game. He has answered the bell. I think he's been out of 5 games. And if the Yankees could get 150 games out of him, Don, they're winners in this. And they're going to need him to play all the time. So, again, they have a grand long-term plan. We're looking at it day-to-day. Yeah. They're looking at it more long-term.
No, I get it. But, Michael, did take him out of the game early the day before. They knew that they weren't going to be playing baseball today. Or give him the day off the next day. Again, if they did play today, it's a much different game. And then they got a day off on Monday.
Yeah. And they probably did know they were not playing today. And I think that was behind it, too. They wanted to give them 2 days off.
I'm sorry. You can't afford to do that. You heard Alex say you might be a week to 10 days away from actually being sellers at the deadline.
That was pretty strong what he said.
And your manager said, and we always lose exactly the words that were said, but how important this week was. And you split the first two games, and it's a big third game against what you thought was going to be elite performance at Ohtani. You didn't have it, so from that point, it didn't matter. I mean, this is a big week. I mean, you got to play. Because you know what? You might be facing a September, Michael, where you don't even have to play him. You're out of it.
I'll take a quick timeout. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greca and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.